Thanks for joining us. My name is Ibrahim Sani. In the studio with me is a good friend of mine, Muhammad Yazurin Salij.
Pardon me.
Muhammad Yasin, the CEO of Rapid Bus. Yazurin is, of course, leading the bus operations of Rapid Bus in Malaysia, or in KL mostly. Maybe we can talk a little bit more about Rapid Bus Sdn Bhd. And how does it sit in terms of the landscape of Prasarana and, I guess, the Rapid ecosystem?
Okay, thank you, Brian. So basically, background of Rapid Bus. So generally, Rapid Bus is a subsidiary of Prasarana, 100% subsidiary, and we are actually government-owned. Basically, we are currently operating in KL, Penang, and also Kuantan. Penang, we are the sole operator. Kuantan, we are the sole operator. But in KL, actually, some people might think that we are the sole operator, but actually, there are other operators as well.
If you want to share with us, or could share with us, what's the market share then, in KL?
Basically, in 2015, SPAD then, the Suruhanjaya Pengangkutan Darat, they actually carved out the operation area for each of the operators. So I think we are operating now about 80% of the in Kuala Lumpur lah.
The majority.
Yeah, so generally, for example, the Klang area, Shah Alam area, we are limited in our operation. Kepong area is also quite limited, and also Puchong, there are some areas that we cover, and some area there are some other operator. But the problem that is facing now is that there are these other operators. Some of them have actually ceased operation. So generally, that's why there is some void. That's why some people are saying that some areas are not covered, no buses. So, but those areas most likely are areas which were operated by other operators. And since COVID, they actually ceased operation. Some of them.
You know what? Let's jump into this, because a lot of people are now saying that whatever that goes wrong is Prasarana's fault. Honestly, from bus stops being in disrepair and coverages that you're not even serving. Yeah. But because no buses are going through that area, yeah, you know, it's easier for me to blame you guys.
Sure.
What is the situation there in terms of market understandability of what you are and what you are not?
Okay, so basically we are the bus operator, and also we are operating Prasarana's assets. Generally, the buses are Prasarana's assets. We are not the developer of bus stops. Yeah, that's one thing. But basically, I think even though we are not developing the bus stops, but we have actually got very close working relationship with the PBT lah. Alhamdulillah, I think for the past
local government.
Yeah,
local
for council. The past 1 year, I think in 2022, we actually developed quite a good relationship with the PBTs. And I think last year we have come up with all the priority bus stops. We listed down the priority bus stops, about 300 over priority bus stop, where there are about more than 100 riderships a day. We shared this with the PBT, and I think out of that 300 over, about 800 has already been upgraded. So generally that is a good working relationship between us and the PBT lah. But okay, we do not have control over that lah.
Yeah. There's so many other things that you don't have control over as well, right? Including coverage areas. Of course, yes. I'm pretty sure, I don't know what's happening behind the scene, but in the areas that are not being covered, I'm sure you're talking to, I don't know, Transport Ministry or any other regulators out there to service these kind of areas.
Yep.
Am I right?
Yeah. So yes, because, for example, there are certain areas where the operation ceased. The Agency Pengangkutan Awam Darat, they have actually come to us to discuss whether we have additional resources to actually cover those areas lah. Yeah, but we are quite limited in our resources as well. But we have, for example, the area in Selayang whereby the operator ceased, and APAT came to us, requested that we operate. And alhamdulillah, since we started operation, we have seen increase in ridership lah. I think before we operated, maybe about 20. Now ridership has become 200 over around the area. So I think.
What do you mean 20? What you need?
The number of riders from 20 to 200 in the Selayang area.
Okay.
So that's something positive.
Isn't that too small? Sounds like too small.
Because we only operate about one or two buses there lah. So yeah.
Maybe you can share with us in terms of capacity right now.
Okay.
How much people are you ferrying about?
Okay, we are currently in Kuala Lumpur, we are carrying about 200,000. This is very low lah as compared to pre-pandemic. Pre-pandemic, we are carrying about 450.
Wow, less
so,
than half.
So less than half at the moment. But the
if it's 450,000,
yeah.
What is that in terms of percentage of capacity?
Okay, so basically the load factor before pandemic was about 50 to 60%. Now it's about 40% load factor because
still there's still more than half. Even yeah, pre-pandemic,
yeah,
you can carry a lot more people.
Yes, yes.
And why aren't people taking the bus?
That's something. Because for your information, generally the ridership has actually increased pre-pandemic. Since 2004, when we started Rapid KL, it increased until 2018, and it peaked at about 2018, and it actually went down a bit in 2019. We believe there is some correlation with the e-hailing when e-hailing came in and became more convenient.
Yeah.
So that's where we are at. Yeah.
Okay. Let's talk about the transformation plan of Rapid Bus Sdn Bhd.
Okay.
It was launched in 2021. It was launched right after the pandemic.
Yep.
So you do factor in the pandemic elements in the transformation plan.
Yep.
What is the transformation plan's objectives, and are you meeting those kind of objectives?
Okay, so basically the transformation plan objective number one is actually to increase ridership. That's always our objective, mm-hmm. to increase ridership, and also in addition to that, we were looking at safety as a priority, and also the financial sustainability lah. But I think for the past few years, after the pandemic, I think the concentration that we are at is actually to improve service, and not to say financial is to be put on the back burner, but the main objective will be service reliability. So basically, as part of the transformation plan, actually there are three major pillars that we are looking at. Number one is actually the service itself, whereby we look at the buses availability, the buses reliability, the information that we share with the public, the ease of planning your journey. So those are the things that we look at the first pillar. Second pillar is actually the infrastructure, because we believe to be able to provide good service, a bus stop has to be there. But the key important element that we see in terms of infrastructure, especially after pandemic, is the bus lane. Because if, for your information, we got data from DBKL. Pre-pandemic, the number of vehicles that enter to KL is about 4.5 million daily. Now, it's about 6 million. So the increase is tremendous. That's why I think most of us actually experienced a worsening traffic jam after the pandemic. So that's why we are very keen to see bus lanes to be implemented lah. And also, alhamdulillah, since July, DBKL has actually assisted us in actually implementing the trial of the bus lane Jalan Mampang lah. We've seen very good results. Ridership has increased about 10% in Jalan Ampang, and also in terms of the journey time, we could save approximately 20 minutes of the journey time for the public lah. So generally, that's where we want to improve. So number two, I mentioned, is the infrastructure, and number three is actually on our bus captains, because this is an issue that we've faced for a long time lah. Generally, our bus captains, we do not have sufficient bus captain. We can recruit them, but we cannot retain them. That's the problem that we always had, even before pandemic lah. And I believe this is an industry problem lah. So in order to solve that, we have actually improved the remuneration for the bus captains. We've seen good results. We have, for example, the retention has actually been better this year. For example, last year by June, we would normally lose about 10% of our bus captain. Now, as of June, we only 4% attrition. And also in terms of recruitment, for the past 2 months, I think we managed to recruit about 300 bus captains now. So it's a good sign, and we believe that is something that we can move forward, push forward lah. And also in terms of the quality of the bus captains, we also have a program we call Service Ambassador Program lah. So generally this is to make sure the bus captains are more courteous, they are more we have a program we call Senyum, Salam and also Sabar lah. They have to be sabar sikit eh. So this has actually proven good lah, because we have seen the number of complaints reduced by about 30% since we launched this program. So generally those are the three pillars that we looked at as part of the transformation plan.
I'll touch on infrastructure a bit, sure, but still on the bus captains. Mm-hmm. It's also important for us to highlight that they are properly vetted, they are properly ensured in terms of the quality and the lifestyle that they take, including, as I understand it, drug tests as well, police background checks. Sure. So these are the kind of quality checks that is going through them. But my question is to you, why the attrition rate being so high at 10%? Is mm-hmm. it e-hailing? Is that it?
Generally, I think we've done some analysis lah. The issue with the bus captain attrition is that because the responsibility and the stress level that they have to face. You know, they have to carry passenger, the lives of the passenger at their hands. They have to go through traffic jam. They also need to do customer service. You know, they have to know where the routes are. You know, they have to handle the customer. In Penang, for example, they still need to handle cash. In KL, no more. But those are the scope of work of the bus captain. And they are getting more or less what the P-hailing guys are getting or E-hailing guys are getting. So generally, the scope of work and the remuneration does not match. And that's why we see the attrition, some goes to E-hailing. Yes, generally, they get the same but less pressure. Some go to government buses, university buses, whereby they can actually work less stress with the same remuneration. So that's where we are looking at the attrition. That's why for us, given the additional scope that they are doing, that's why we say, okay, it's important that we have to improve their remuneration. And actually, we do benchmark against other cities in the world. And we see that because we are a member of this group called International Bus Benchmarking Group. So this group includes New York, London, Brussels, about 15 cities in the world. So we benchmark twice a year, we discuss, and we see that our bus captains are, because the rest of the cities, their bus captains are remunerated above the city average. For Rapid KL, they are about 40% below the city average. So that's why we want to try to improve that, because generally we understand because these other cities have faced that, and this is one of the key improvements that they've made lah, in order to address this issue of attrition.
I've worked in two big cities, Jakarta and London. Both I rely on buses, but for different reasons. Yep. London Tube is world-renowned, yes, mm-hmm. I do take the Tube, but at the same time, some of the areas that I want to go to, particularly my flat and, of course, my office, mm-hmm. a bus service would be 10 times more optimal than taking a Tube. Yep. That's easy. For Jakarta, the bus lane is just magnificent. Yep. It sits in the middle. I don't know what they call it. There is a word for it.
Transjakarta.
Transjakarta. Yeah, yeah. And I own the road. There is no other way to say it, right? There, it's fast. You know, why would I go through Machet? Even though Grab is there or other e-hailing companies are there. Yeah. It's slow.
Yeah.
The argument that needs to be made is, in your second pillar inside your transformation plan of 2021, infrastructure must come hand in hand with the ministry, the PBT, JPJ even. Yep. You know, taking care of the bus captains is all within your entire maybe wages, you need to talk to the progressive wage model kind of setup under the economy ministry. Yep. But you can't move without having a central bus lane. What kind of conversations are happening right now, either with Prasarana or Rapid Bus Sdn Bhd, in relation to getting a dedicated road, you know, in these tough roads, right? Like Jalan Kuching, for instance, Jalan Ampang, NKVE maybe, I don't know. Mm-hmm. So how is that coming along in terms of having these dedicated bus lanes?
Okay, so Alhamdulillah, I think last year, earlier this year, our TPM, Deputy Prime Minister, has actually reactivated the they call it the jawatankuasa kesesakan jalan raya.
Okay.
Yeah. So that has been reactivated, and generally the minister in charge for the technical matters is MOT. So we have had a few rounds of discussion, and generally this is the forum that we've discussed lah. So for example, the Ampang bus lane is actually as a result from this committee. So this committee involves the MOT, PBT, and also PDRM as mm-hmm. part of the committee. Mm-hmm. And also, for example, the last meet, the all the PBTs are also there lah. KPKT is also involved. So now we have one jawatankuasa technical specific on chaired by the KPKT punya ketua pengarah. Mm-hmm. And this is actually making inroads lah. So for example, as I mentioned, we have targeted 300 over priority bus stops. 80 of them has been built, and as I can remember, about 8 kilometers of walkways have been implemented within the since we implemented this committee lah. And the for example, for the bus lanes, Ampang corridor, Ampang is one is the first pilot that we've undertaken, and also we are looking at future bus lanes. If this Ampang is workable, will be Jalan Genting Kelang, Jalan Kelang Lama, and also the Federal Highway.
I cannot imagine the kind of traffic. Inducing anxiety already. All these three roads. Oh, frankly.
Yeah. No, but if you go to Jalan Ampang now, actually I based on our observation lah, the traffic is getting better. Mm. Because one thing is that they have actually put in the contraflow lah. They have one contraflow. But in addition to that, because the Jalan Ampang congestion was as a result of right turning traffic. So basically, because we implemented this, they actually changed the traffic flow. No right turn. For example, Glen Eagles, you can't turn right. You have to go to make a U-turn. Yeah. So the traffic congestion, even with the bus lane, is actually better, I would say.
I'm familiar because my kid goes to a school on Jalan Ampang.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And you know, on one hand, I may have to go through a longer way of getting to school. But on the other hand, the mobility for many of these. An argument that I'd always make is that metropolitans like New York or San Francisco, London, Jakarta, even Bangkok, they have to rely on only one mode of main transportation, which is bus.
Yeah.
In order for KL to survive in a very globalized metropolitan world, our bus service has to be top-notch.
Yep.
However, there are some sentiment out there that says bus service is just not for me. Yep. How do you try to close that gap between market demand on not wanting to take the bus and the absolute necessity for KL to adopt greater bus adoption?
Okay, interesting question. Before that, I think this is something that people always, to answer that, I think some people would ask, it's a chicken and egg problem, you know, the chicken first or the egg. But I always tell people, it must be the chicken first.
Okay.
Because the service must be there first before people can actually shift to the public transport. Because now, for example, now, tell people now take bus, but the buses are stuck in the same jam, and also bus will have to move slower because they have to stop at the bus stop. You know, they can go faster.
So the value proposition.
So there's that. no proposition. So that's why I think we need to actually provide the infrastructure. For example, now we can tell people in Ampang, hey, take the bus. Bus is faster. So that's where we are trying to propagate this idea that we need to provide a better service in order to change. Mm-hmm. Because we believe that, for example, the value proposition for our LRT is there. You know, now I think we are nearly at more than 90% pre-pandemic ridership already. Even though, for example, our Kelana Jaya line is not as the headway is not as good as pre-pandemic, so generally we have that value proposition. But for bus, we don't have that value proposition at the moment. And for I think our PGCEO, our Encik Azhar, he always emphasised that the bus needs to be promoted more, because for us to have another rail line, for example, we will have another rail line LRT3 in 2025. But what next? There's no more rail line coming up. The Circle Line MRT3 maybe in 8 to 10 years. So what do we do until then? So that's why I think that it's a very important Jawatan Kuasa Kesahkan Jalan Raya is something that we are using as a platform to actually bring our case that we need to improve the infrastructure, improve the bus services in order for KL not to go into a downward spiral in terms of the congestion.
The Traffic Congestion Committee, who's inside it?
Generally, it's a few ministers are in that committee. I don't remember.
Ah, okay. Yeah. All right. And the key takeaway is, of course, improving the last mile service. Yeah. That's always been the case. Yeah. Rail is very important when you go for longer distances. Yeah. But at the end of the day, if you can't connect that particular gap there, it's actually quite disastrous. Nobody will take either the train or the bus for that matter. Yep. Do you feel that last mile connectivity is currently being addressed?
Okay, so basically last mile connectivity is something that we are seriously looking into. So that's why I think at the moment we would like to promote the first mile, especially our feeder buses.
Yes.
For now, I think there are a few steps which I will share, but I think at the moment we are quite proud that our feeder buses are about 90% on time based on the schedule that we put at the stations lah.
Yeah.
So based on that, that's why this year and next year we're trying to promote people to please take the feeder buses, because they are on time. And why they are on time? Because they are at the taman-taman,
so
so therefore they are not subject to congestion.
Yeah.
We have sufficient buses for MRT, so generally they are on time. We can actually attest to that. But there are two issues that we are addressing. Number one is that the feeder buses at the moment they are quite long, so the buses that we have is about 10 meters. So when they go into the taman-taman tu, it's quite tight.
So you're looking for like bus mini
so
kind
therefore,
of size.
Yeah, so that's why we are about to procure smaller buses in order to address that. So that will help in terms of journey time. Journey time might be faster, because we did a trial in Ampang in 2018. We saw by using a smaller buses, we can actually reduce the travel time by about 10 to 20%. So generally, that will actually help people for the first mile to be faster. That's one of the options. Another option that we're looking at, because first mile, it is not a dense area, you know, especially areas whereby it's not high rise. So we need to also look into how do we provide services into this dense area using a better resources. So that's why we have started our DRT. We call it demand responsive transit, whereby we are using vans. And also vans, and for people to book the ride based on demand. So we have an app now. We're working with two companies, Kumpul and also Track, Track Ride. We have actually implemented this DRT permanently at one of our...
What is the DRT?
Demand Responsive Transit.
Okay.
So basically what it entails is that you book your ride and it comes to you, and it's not like Grab. Grab is one rider per
This
per
is
vehicle.
A collection.
This is a collection, yes.
Final area of exploration I want to go through with you is on asset management or fleet management.
Okay.
EV buses. That was an interesting conversation that I had just last night with a guest of mine this show.
Yep.
And of course, cheaper buses, you know, to replenish your current fleet.
Yep.
What's the thinking when it comes to buying buses right now?
Okay, number one, buying buses, because we are about to float tender lah for buying buses. So generally, buying buses now, the take is that it should not be all long buses. That's one thing. Okay, we also want to go EV because I think EV, one thing is the maintenance is cheaper. Yes, it might cost a little bit more to buy the buses, but in the long run, it's actually cheaper.
So you're buying locally or internationally?
We will come up with a tender sooner. I think that will be announced. Yeah.
But the EV buses procurement is a real thing.
It is coming. It is coming. But generally we have actually done a proper study lah in terms of how we want to transition to EV. I think one of the key element is actually to upgrade the charging infrastructure at the depot lah. Because actually kalau kita charge the buses at night, it might take like a small city consumption lah. It's quite a big energy that we have to take up lah. So that's why we are working with Tenaga Nasional to upgrade the grid, and also those are the things that we are looking into lah.
Is the National Energy Transition Roadmap addressing this?
Yeah.
It does.
Yes. Because basically since we started discussing this, I think a lot of agencies are now working with us lah in order
to... Including Tenaga and many more.
Yes.
This is a revolutionary moment, don't you think?
Yeah.
Where you can see energy transition being literally done in front of your eyes.
Yeah. But I think just to share with you lah, now from what we see, if we were to transition all based on the current energy
right
portfolio...
Right now you have zero.
Now we have 15.
Oh, you already have 15 EV buses?
We've been running 15 EV buses since 2015.
I don't know.
At our BRT Sunway.
Okay.
They are fully EV. Yeah.
So total fleet size right now is what? Like how many buses do you have?
At the moment, about 1,500 fleet.
Wow. So from 15 to 1,005.
Yeah.
That needs to be transitioned.
So our vision is that to be able to replace all with EV by 2037. That's our target.
Okay, about 14 years to go.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Final comments before we conclude our conversation?
Nothing much, but I would like to invite everybody for this Merdeka, which will be held in Putrajaya. So we will be providing free shuttle service from our Putrajaya Central bus, and we'll have two types of service. One is the shuttle to the event area, and second, we will have like a hop-on, hop-off bus to POIs within Putrajaya lah. So I think it's a good time to actually anybody wants to visit Putrajaya, spend the day there, Merdeka, you know. So we would like to invite everybody lah to if you have never used a bus, or the last time you used your bus was when you were in school. So we invite you to come to Putrajaya, try our buses, and maybe you will change the way you travel in the future.
Yeah. Thank you very much. That was Yazurin Yassin, the CEO of Rapid Bus. If you want to learn more about their services, just go on to their social sites. Prasarana, social sites are actually a lot more fun to actually witness. So do check that out. If you haven't yet already, there are a lot of resources like this that can be found on astroawani.com. My name is Ibrahim Saini. Catch you the next one.